What is up, Wisconsin? Oh my God. Rational Revolution, you're here again. Mark Becker, I'm your host. Thank you so much for tuning in. Happy Father's Day last week to all the dads out there. We're a week away from the 4th of July. Holy cow. I'm going to Boston with my family. I can't wait. We're going to go to a Red Sox game and we're going to see a bunch of history and stuff and, you know, see the city. So maybe I'll have an update next time we get together. But this week, I have a special guest. This guy never does any media whatsoever. He keeps to himself and he just grinds it. And he's just an all-around good guy. I got Eddie Boyce. He's the founder of Better Days Mentoring, LLC. He's also owner of Angelina's Restaurant here in Green Bay, which is absolutely worth the price of admission. And we'll talk about both things. But Eddie, you're here.
Yeah.
We got you. Eddie Boyce, everybody. So Eddie and I went to the same high school. He graduated a couple of years after me. Mm-hmm. So I'm older. His brother Harry, I knew more in mm-hmm. high school because his brother Harry Boyce, I played soccer and so did Harry. But Harry's known for more of the basketball thing because he went on and played, what, 10 years professionally?
Yeah, 10 years overseas. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Harry's got a hell of a power shot, too, though, in soccer. That would, I bet he got along pretty good over there with a shot like that, I would imagine.
Soccer ain't for me. It worked for him.
But I'm so thrilled that you're here. You were just recently awarded and recognized by... We All Rise at their Juneteenth celebration, mm-hmm. and they recognized male caregivers mm-hmm. in the community, and you were one of them.
Yeah, myself and Dennis Tennant and my brother Harry, they wanted to highlight individuals that had went to East High School and have come up in the community and wanted to highlight us three in particular, just kind of showing like, hey, you know, you can achieve things.
Oh, yeah.
And just being, you know, East graduates and all three of us being college graduates. I mean, we all competed at the next level
mm-hmm.
playing, you know. I was able to compete all 4 years.
Yeah, you're pretty good at basketball yourself, my friend.
Yeah, I'm more, if you ask, you know, I got all the dog in me. So Harry's your overall, he's your overall, like, okay. But I'm the better scorer.
There you go.
I can do, once I get the ball, it's over.
Kobe.
Yeah, I can fill it up.
I know you can.
Yeah, I ain't got no problem filling it up.
No, that's so cool. And, you know, I remember that was my memory of you in high school was prolific basketball player. I mean, very, very talented.
No,
and
thank you.
We didn't interact much in school, but it's crazy. Like, so the last... You know, when I graduated high school, I didn't really know what I was going to do. And it was, you know, I kind of just put my head down and just grinded as hard as I could at doing whatever I could to be successful. And then all of a sudden, like, I picked my head up and I, you know, because it's lonely doing that, you know. For I've found that, you know, I lost a lot of connections and all of that, but it's so cool to pick your head up and see, like, you're killing it. Oh my God. Like you started an incredible mentoring, organization that benefits the community.
Mm-hmm.
You have a restaurant. You're like, I think you're the only black business owner in that industry in this town.
Yeah.
And so like, what, how the heck? That's amazing. You got a beautiful family. Wife, kids, everything. Like, you are, life is good for you, man.
Yeah, I mean, Better Days started 9 years ago.
Yeah.
So when I was doing that, like, that was something that was very, very essential to me because I look at it and I'm like, man, you know, at a time growing up the way that I did, you know, we was raised just by my mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, so grew up in a single mother, you know, single parent household. So I think that's crucial to have, whether it be in home or outside of your home, somebody that you can, you know, go to or get guidance from.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with Better Days, you know, that's been very good just from the sense of the community as, you know, very much just been involved with it. And I mean, I got a great working relationship with, you know, juvenile justice over at Brown County, a great relationship with, you know, the PD, the officers from the PD.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know what I mean? So
yeah, no, now, that's cool.
You know, it's really helpful because sometimes, you know, you might have a young kid that's doing something on the weekend and an officer stops them, or there might be something that takes place. And instead of it just being like, oh man, you know, you're going to jail. Well, the officer will call myself or
no
one
kidding,
of my mentors.
Really?
Yeah, I kid you not. And so like,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And just to say like, hey, you know,
come
this
talk
happened.
To this kid.
Yeah. This that's happened sweet. Over the that's weekend cool. with this family. And so I enjoy that because it also helps with those young individuals, whether you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic. It allows for them to get a different perspective that, hey, okay, these guys are not,
they're not all
bad. No, not at all.
Yeah.
And when they see me having interactions with them, whether it be I'm out and about in the community.
It's a simple handshake.
Yeah, and I dap up an officer.
That's
hey,
cool.
like, how
yeah,
you
yeah,
doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hey, yeah. Mr. Boyce, oh, man, you know, like, what's going
you.
On? Yeah,
yeah right.
You know what I mean? And so that's it allows cool. for those kids to see that because I think, you know, you see a lot of things on social media and different things. And I always say, you know, I can't be in control of those things that are happening in all those different places.
Yep.
But we can control what we do here. Mm-hmm. In Green Bay.
What were you doing professionally when you started that foundation?
Well, when I started that, I was already working. Like, I just graduated.
Okay.
I came back and I found out I was actually gearing up and I was preparing to go overseas to go and play.
No kidding.
I kid you not.
Oh, cool.
After my scene, like, I was like, okay. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go up
over this.
Here. Yeah. And, my grandmother had just passed, so we went down to Chicago for a funeral. We came back and found out, you know, at that point, she was my fiance. Like, she was pregnant. I'm like, wow. I'm like, okay. So I was excited.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, okay. Like, all right. And then, you know, I'd already had buddies that were already up over there. And I'm like, for me, I loved the game of basketball, but I wasn't in love with it.
Okay.
There's two different ways. You know, Harry was in love with it, right?
Yeah, that's everything he did.
Yeah, he breathed it, he lived. For me, basketball was, it was really more of a tool for me because I always, since I was little, like I just kind of envisioned having ownership and owning things.
Yeah.
You know, like
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like I just, you know, being a point guard too, like I was more, I told people what to do.
Yes.
Hey, you get here, you get here, you get here. Like everybody had to follow and I made sure everything. So I just always had like this hustler's mentality.
Yes.
Like I want to own things. I want to have ownership. I want to buy things. And so,
yes.
I kid you not. So, you know, when I was.
We speak the same language.
Yeah.
Oh
you
my
know?
God.
So when I was doing all of this, it was like, okay. So I just, one day I was working at a place and I was just like, yeah, I'd rather just own my own and do my own thing. So I just started my own LLC and, you know, started working with a lot of youth and then it just grew. So I've worked all the way across the board from cognitive delays.
That's cool.
I've worked in schools, you know, I contract with school districts now at Schwabenon and De Pere for alternative school for like, you know, some of the kids where it can be a little tough for them.
Yep.
You know, in a school setting. So to help you be able to now control yourself or teach you coping skills.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's all just come full circle whether it just be, okay, we mentor this kid throughout the day or he has a court case or, you know, he's put on an order. And I got, you know, great relationships with the judges where it's like, hey, you know, we're signing you to go to Better Days to work with Mr. Boyce at Better Days. Because, you know, and you know, granted, you know, the best part about that is when you do very good work, they respect
you. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So that's been great to have those relationships, but also the respect from them to know, like, no, they get after you.
Yeah.
We don't want to go through the motions where I'm at, you know, because that doesn't work, nor does that help you succeed neither. Yeah. You know, if I'm not teaching you or if I'm not, you know, getting after you where I'm like, no, we can't be doing that. You know?
Right. We're talking with Eddie Boyce here on Rational Revolution. What brought you to having that business focus on mentorship of youth?
I mean, growing up, I mean, a lot of the buddies around me, you know, they was missing. They were missing the same things that I was missing, right? Mm. A lot of them didn't have father figures, you know? So I knew at that point, I'm like, man, you know, it's becoming critical out here.
Yeah.
Even more so because when I was coming up, you know, the rule of thumb was you listen to your elders, right?
Yeah.
And you when they said you follow, well, by the time I was getting out of college and I'm looking around, I'm like, man, this is changing. The whole landscape. You know what I mean? Like, kids ain't really listening.
When I say jump, you say how high.
That's it. You know what I'm saying? Rule of thumb. Like, I said it, so don't you even ask me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the law. Uh-huh. And for me, like, I parent that way.
Yeah, okay.
I am the law. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and like, my kids, like, they don't even blink. They just like, yeah, dad said it. Like, you know, like, for real. And like, my wife, dad comes home and everybody knows.
Shape up?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, and I mean, you think about that, right? Like, I grew up, you know, when I think about that.
We'll continue this in just a second here. On the other side, we got Eddie Boyce here on the Rational Revolution. Welcome back, everybody. Mark Becker here on the Rational Revolution, talking with dear friend Eddie Boyce, founder of Better Days Mentoring, an all-around good guy. And we're talking about on the other side of the break that you know, he is the guy in the household, and you know, I think this might be the first time because you blew out your Achilles. I might be, you know, if you say jump, say how, I might be able to outjump you right now.
No,
still not, eh?
Yeah, I kid you not. I started jumping again about 3 weeks ago.
No way, oh man.
Yeah, so
I'm screwed.
I'm really on a fast recovery track.
All right, good
right
for you,
now.
Man.
Yeah.
Now, so you were talking about how one of the reasons why you picked and chose to mentor youth is when you got out of college and you saw, you know, times changing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I talk on that or like when I speak on that, I look at it and I'm like, man, you know, especially for a young minority, you know, there's more access for them now than there was when I was growing up. You know what I mean? So now there's more things for them to possibly, you know, now you can end up hopping on YouTube and following a guy that is doing completely dumb things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Whereas before, like, you actually had to be outside and be around those individuals for that type of influence, right? So, and I think, you know, the more access these kids have, which is good and bad, right?
Yes.
It's no different than technology, right?
Yes.
If it's not monitored the right way or, you know, taught and curbed in the right direction, well, then you just, it becomes more of an addiction and things where you just utilize it in a terrible manner. So, And I look at that and I'm like, man.
How do you see that affecting kids?
Which part of it?
Like the technology and the instant access and YouTube and.
It's pros and cons, right? Yeah. But I think what it does do is it makes it. It's made certain kids who, if you are a fake, like where I'm from, you call them fakers or pump fakers.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you really ain't real.
Okay.
But now you can go watch a video clip and talk about some stuff that you ain't never lived.
None of it's real. Yeah.
You ain't never lived it. But now you didn't gain, you heard somebody else talk about it from a neighborhood in Chicago.
Yeah.
Or in LA. And it's like, you ain't even grow up there.
Right.
Like, what is you talking about? I'm serious, you know? Yeah. So, like, what it has done is basically, you know, it's made you kind of be enamored, fascinated with things that it's like, nah. You know what I mean? You got this fascination with things that are, a lot of times, you know, you want the jewels, you want the cars.
Yeah.
But you don't understand all the other things that are coming with that, you know? So, so the fascination has, that's what it's done, is created this crazy amount of fascination for a lot of these young kids where, like, the instant gratification, now.
Ed, I'm a business owner too, and as are you, and I think of, like, you know, how many times someone has said to me, and I'm sure someone said, oh, that must be nice. It's like, bro, you have no idea.
None whatsoever.
No clue.
Yeah, it is not what you think. Like, oh, you're the boss, so like you can
must
do
be
like,
nice.
No, because any issue that comes up, people are not wanting to talk to that individual.
Oh no.
You ever? And I say this to people. I'm like, when you have a problem, who do you usually ask for when you're dealing with somebody? Let me see the manager, or where's the owner?
Yep.
The manager comes to the owner now.
Mm-hmm.
So now the owner, and so it's not like, and I explain that to kids, like it's not fit for the week.
No.
It's not.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean? Because everything starts and stops with you.
Right.
So you have to be really, or at that point, you have to employ people around you that have those particular great skill sets that either you don't have or that you're not fond. Like if you're not very fond of firing people,
right?
Well, you're going to go get you somebody that,
that can good. Do it.
You know what I'm saying?
I hate doing that. Yeah, I know.
You see?
It sucks.
You know what I mean? My chiropractor, he talks about it all the time. He's like, man, I hate that. I hate that.
Yeah.
He was like, well, I know you probably don't mind. I said, nah, you know I don't.
I'll come get you.
Yeah, like, hey, look, you know, you got to carry your weight.
Yeah.
We got to get things done.
It's, and no matter what happens, the business has to come first. And, you know, sometimes like when I have to do something that's uncomfortable, I think of like, I can do this or it's my kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, because everything that I do is for them.
Yep.
And my wife. You know, and so it's, but you know, people, it must be nice. You have no idea.
No.
You have no idea what that is. So like, you know, talk about Better Days Mentoring. So you started that.
Yep.
You saw kids that needed direction, needed help.
Yeah.
How did that go in the beginning? How did you get your inroads into, you know, organizations and, you know, police departments, or you know, say, hey, don't send this kid off, call me.
No, I to be honest, I didn't even have to tell them that.
No kidding.
They just, it became more like a partnership.
That's cool.
Where like for them, you know, there's a lot of real things that go on within the city, right?
Yes.
And if you're just going over to a house because another young boy has an issue with another young boy, mm-hmm. or the family has an issue with another family, well, I wouldn't say that you're not really utilizing your time very well, but like for them, it's like, okay, well, we have somebody that can interject on these things and tell it the way that it is without it being like, well, you're not thinking about them or you're being racist.
Right.
No. Like,
if it's coming from you, if it's coming from me, is this the vessel is...
Yeah, it's different, right?
Yes.
But I'm going in and I'm telling them like, no, these officers ain't wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't be out here carrying around Orbi guns or you know, acting as if you got something like, no, man, that'd get you hurt.
Or worse.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, oh yeah. Right.
Because I look at it and I say, like, I wouldn't play that game neither.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, what are we doing? So
it's a dangerous game to play.
Yeah, it definitely is. And so I always say, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. I'm not about to go back and forth about it. And granted, you know, I've always said, you know, sometimes you can get some officers that are probably not always the greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But then a lot of the guys that I work with over here at the PD and my mentors do, I mean, it really is. It's a great relationship.
They have some good people.
Yeah, really. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's the thing is that, you know, we at this, you know, I always say, you know, we can just make it better.
Well, and it's, you know, it's one thing. It's like you don't want to be judged on other people's mistakes. And I don't think, you know, you can hold the police department to that respect as well.
No, you want to give people an opportunity and give them a chance. And for some of these officers that come from smaller areas and now they're here working, it gives them an opportunity, right?
Yeah, and I think the cool thing is, you know, the leadership of the city sees that and sees the changing demographics, and they want to hire to meet that as well. We're talking with Eddie Boyce here on the Rational Revolution. We'll see you on the other side. Welcome back. Rational Revolution. Mark Becker here with friend Eddie Boyce, who's the founder of Better Days Mentoring. We're also going to talk about his sweet restaurant here in the next break or in the next segment. But I want to talk a little bit about, you know, kind of where we are as a society. You know, I often think about how I grew up. I grew up in a very white, very Catholic family, you know, and we always tried to live our faith, loving thy neighbor, be the best example of Mr. Rogers. There's our Mr. Rogers reference, Todd. I think like once an episode, I always mentioned Mr. Rogers. That dude.
Thank you.
That
Thank
dude
you.
Was badass. Let me tell you. Can I say that on the radio?
You just did.
Okay. but you know his idea of being kind to everyone. Mm. I don't know if you remember. Or if you know of, there was an episode with him with Francois Clemens, who was the black mailman. And well, so during the time of Mr. Rogers, when they were working on desegregating things like public pools, Francois Clemens was a black mailman.
Yeah.
And it was really hot in the show. And he had this little kiddie pool, Mr. Rogers did. And he's like, why don't you come take a break? And they both put their feet in the pool together.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the first time on TV, like landmark. Oh my God. Like, that's awesome. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
You know? And those little things that people do to fight for equality. And, you know, I every day I try to learn and grow and ask questions and, you know, because I want to better understand everybody. And meet people where they are, you know. And it was interesting. I talked to my wife about this yesterday because I said, you know, we're going to talk about. So, and my wife is black, but she grew up. She was raised by a white woman, and it sounds like her mom and your mom were kind of similar with like, hey, you don't just go put your head down, go kick ass. That's it, you know? And so she grew up with that mindset of like, I'm not going to see myself as a black person. I'm going to see myself as a person.
Yeah.
And which is cool, you know? But I think a lot of what we are missing, and I talked to you about this off air, and my wife and I talked about this, in order to understand where we are as a society, it's unconscionable that it took me until my 30s to learn about tribal schools and Black Wall Street and Tulsa Massacre and all like all of these things to understand, okay, the absolute generational trauma that it, that does exist that you have to be cognizant of. And even, you know, with the mindset of you where I'm not going to let that affect me, which is amazing.
That's because I was taught that. Though.
Right. You know what I mean? But I think we also need to have understanding in society of, okay, let's give opportunities. Let's try to understand. I feel like I'm a pretty understanding guy. And I think I know more than most people when it comes to this stuff. And, but you know, and it was crazy. Like when our son was born, when I saw like a prejudice for the first time, we were in a hospital and, my son wasn't eating and he was, you know, and this was like day two and he started shaking and the doctor came in and like looked at my wife and was like, oh, he's just, the kid's just going through withdrawals. And he walked out and I was like, what? Like, what? And it took me like 6 months before I recognized what that was. Because I didn't know. I had no idea. And then I read an article about how Black women are like 9 times more likely to die in childbirth than a white woman. And I lost it. I was like, that's what that was? Holy crap. And so growth begins at the end of your comfort zone, right? Some of these things are uncomfortable. That was uncomfortable to me because I didn't know what that was. I couldn't protect my wife. I couldn't protect my kid. How can society expand our understanding? What can we do?
Nothing except for just sit down and have open conversations, right? That's where all of that starts at. I mean, I look at, and I give you an example, right? You know, some of the PD guys or some officers or even, you know, some of the case managers from juvenile justice from Brown County, you know, sometimes when they're meeting certain families, instead of them just being like, well, I'm going to go do this myself. The bigger thing is we talk.
Yeah.
You ask. Right.
Right. Right.
And for them, they're asking for help. Like, hey, look, I want to get this off on the right foot.
Right.
You know, because then you already knock down barriers.
Yeah.
In walls. Right.
Yeah.
And I look at that and I say it all the time. Like, you know, I mean, I'm Catholic. Right.
Okay.
So we go to Mass every Sunday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, my brother-in-law had did like this, he had did like this huge project. My brother-in-law, Peter Weiss, he had did this huge project just on diversity at parishes in Green Bay. And I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can't tell you how many people came up to me and they were just like, man, you know, like it's different, but allowing for your uncomfortable to not be your comfortable. And just, I always say, you know, my mother, you know, so when you talk, my mother grew up in Arkansas, born and raised.
No kidding.
Yeah, oh man, I'm serious.
Wow.
So like her middle school was burnt down.
I bet she had some stories.
Some?
Yeah.
Like you understand.
Did she ever talk about that?
Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. So like she grew up in Arkansas.
Right.
Born and raised.
I would love to hear some of
you
those.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
15 minutes from Memphis.
Oh God.
So yeah, I mean, but you know, one thing for her, and I talk about that all the time is, you know, she would always tell us, you know, don't sit here and be a victim. Don't sit here and talk about what ain't nobody gonna give you and what you deserve.
Right.
You go and you go take it and you go get it.
Right, right.
And not meaning go and take it and, you know.
Unlawfully.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you need to understand that nobody's going to just sit here and give you anything.
Right.
And so that's how we were raised. Because I think, I know for a fact, you know, the things that she saw, her middle school being burnt down, you know, based off people wanting integration. You know what I mean? So. Yeah. She just grew up, you know, and like she grew up picking cotton.
Really?
I kid you not, you know. But it was never something where she spoke about it in a way where it was like, okay, be a victim. If anything, it was like, hey, listen, I came from this.
Break the cycle.
But I'm, I'm breeding y'all to take it further.
Yeah, that's.
And so she didn't, you know, there was never a time where I came home and I was like, hey, man, this kid called me this or this or this. Yeah. Her bigger thing was, you have to be mentally tough. You know what I mean? At all times. And so I just, all of it was just used as motivation for me. And I think from a society standpoint, you know, I also have to expect if suddenly you, if we want to sit down and have a candid conversation about something, we talked about that, you know, briefly, I have to expect that you can only display what you know.
Right.
So if you end up saying something where I'm like, no, nah, that's not all right. Like, you can't say that. You know what I'm saying? I can't look at you and be like, oh, I knew it. You was raised.
You're one of them.
Yeah.
You're
like, one of them. No, you don't know that. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. You don't know that you can't say that. So now I'm here to be like, okay, listen.
And I think, like, as much as your mom said, don't be the victim, break that cycle.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's up to my parents to say, if you ever say that, if you ever think that, if you ever look at someone that doesn't look like you and look and think that they're
less than.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, all of that. It all starts at home, right? And I think, you know, I mean, for me, right? My wife is white.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So I a lot of that teaching, man, it starts at home. Mm-hmm. I don't really get caught up in it. And granted, yes, man. I mean, I still go through things now.
Oh, I bet. Yeah,
you know what I mean. But
how do you handle that?
Because I grew up having to go through it anyway. So it wasn't something like, it's not anything that makes me, you know what I mean. I've seen it.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, a lot of that stuff, even some of the things that were said to me growing up of what I wasn't going to be. You know what I mean? A lot of that was just like, okay.
I got you. I remember that.
Yeah. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
I don't forget.
Yeah. Like,
oh my God.
So when I run into you again.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And I see you and it's, oh my, I can't believe it. Mm-hmm.
There was a teacher. She's now the principal at the school we went to, and now she's leaving to be a superintendent. And the stuff that she said to me, you know, when I was like a kid with ADD, right? So like I was the class clown, all that stuff. But she said stuff to me, and she said stuff to people in my class that were people of color, and I was like, boy, that's messed up, right? Mm. So I remember it's like if I ever see you again. Oh, am I going to throw this in your face? You said I would not amount to anything. You told me that I was going to have to take pills all my life and sit down. You know, you said I should get used to serving people at McDonald's. Oh, my God, am I going to remember that?
But, you know, you look at some of those things. And, like, for me, it wasn't even just, you know, it wasn't teachers. It was people in the neighborhood. You know, like, it was, you know, it was everywhere, you know, where it was like, man, you ain't, I don't know, you know, and like, it didn't help neither, you know. I think me and my brother are like the first two college graduates, know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like really,
yeah,
legitimately,
yeah,
on both sides, like I, you know, so I just, I don't know, my mind, like I don't go through all these things about like, hey, you know, what do people think? I don't care what nobody else thinks. I'm about to go do what I want to go do right now. And my mind is set on, like, I'm going to own this, and you know.
This car.
That's all, you know, and granted, I always say, you know, anybody that's pursuing anything, life is going to beat you up.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's going to be, because it's going to come with that, you know?
And if you think it beats you up on the rise, wait till you get to the top.
Yeah, like because
everybody's trying to knock you.
Yeah, out. Like it gets even crazier you know what I mean? Yeah. Or even when people assume that you're at the top.
Yes.
And it's like, you know, because like even for me, you know, at different points I go through it, like, oh, you know, Eddie, like, you know, who does he think he is? Or like, you know, for me, even people who look like me, like, oh, if he can do it, so can I. It's like, oh my
God. You have no idea, right?
Yeah, man. Like you don't even understand, you know, what this looks like or what it takes on a consistent basis. So I just think, you
know, how much sleep you lose?
Hell yeah. Sleep, man. You ain't getting no damn sleep. Like, you're going to sleep when you're dead.
That's right. Yeah.
I tell my kids that. Like, I sleep when I'm dead because,
you
know, everything else. But and that's why I say, you know, like, I don't, you know, sometimes people want to talk. I don't really want to talk politics. I mean, we got to focus on what's in front. And I'm not saying you, but I'm saying in general, you know, like, as a community and how we all deal with things. We just got to be open to the educational part and talking and understanding one another that the way you came up is different than me.
Yep.
And the way that I came,
appreciating
that's it.
Yes.
That's right. That's the only thing because, you know, that's all we got at the end of the day. Okay, you grew up different than me.
Yeah.
All right, let me learn some about, and I'm going to teach you about me and how it looks like being a black man.
This is awesome. I love this discussion. The Rational Revolution, Mark Becker here with Eddie Boyce. We'll see you back in a little bit.
Tell me that it's evolution. Well, you know, we all want to change the world. But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? You say you got a real solution.
Welcome back. Rational Revolution here. Mark Becker is your host. Eddie Boyce is my guest. He is the founder of Better Days Mentoring. And you guys are killing it. Like there was a picture and you had an event in like, I think like Jordan Love was there. We got Packers. Was it the Coat Drive? Is that what it was?
Yeah, every year.
Oh my God, is that cool?
Yeah, it is. That's been really great. You know, I remember, and this is crazy, like I'm driving home one day and my phone rings, but I don't know the number.
Yeah.
And usually I don't pick it up.
Yeah, okay.
So I pick it up.
I don't either.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So I pick it up and I'm like, hello? And it was like this deep voice. I speak to Eddie Boyce. I'm like, who is this? It's Greg Rugemer.
Oh, no way. Yeah, really?
I swear. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Greg Rugemer like, is for the works
director of player engagement.
Yeah, personnel for Packers.
Yeah, director of player engagement. And so I start, you know.
He I'm does like, have a deep voice.
Yeah,
oh,
man.
My God.
You know what I'm saying? And like, you know what I'm saying? He's a pretty, you know, just.
Big dude.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Just a burly dude.
Imposing
you know?
Man.
Yeah, so yes. I'm like, yeah, so like, what's like. You know, how can I help? He was like, hey, you know, I got your number from one of the officers that works the games in our security detail. And I want our players to come around and collaborate more.
That's cool.
You know, and do much deeper things on a more ground level. And I was like, all right. Like, I said, okay. And it's going from there, you know. You know, normally, you know, I would, you know, do some Colt drives,
mm-hmm.
you know, 50 Colts, 100 Colts, but like, you know, right away, you know, Jair and those guys were like,
that's
yeah.
So, cool.
So like yeah. The last one we just did, we had 750 Colts.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you guys.
We got rid of them in like 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah, I kid you not. And like, people were like, hey man, like, did you put anything out on like, you know, like a news thing? I'm like, no, cause I know everybody.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
You
no, know it was, yeah.
So right away when I released it, like, you know what I'm saying? So it was gone. It was like 60 shit. Like in me, it was gone. So like, but like, that's the beauty too of being in the community. And I think, I know, you know, like that's the part that, you know, Gray and a lot of those guys enjoy is because it can almost, you come here to Green Bay and you don't always think
yeah.
that there are a lot of struggles and a lot of people yeah. in need, but there is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people always say like, man, most people, they wouldn't even come out to get no coat, but everybody know Eddie. They know Eddie don't care at all. You know what I'm saying? Because I come from where they come yeah. from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think it's so cool because, like, you know, there are people that do things like that, not necessarily for the people who they're serving, but they do it for themselves.
Mm.
And you do it, and it's so, it comes from a place where it's so genuine.
Yeah.
And, like, that's really a cool thing.
No, that's a blessing, right? Those are the gifts.
But and it's a blessing for the community.
Yeah, but it's only right?
Yeah.
For me to give back, you know what I'm yeah. saying? To the same community that, again, I used to cause trouble in. Or at times, you know what I'm saying? I'm being
fun,
for real. Yeah, you know what I mean? But also being here, it makes sense to, you know, to also still be a part of it. Yeah. And so, like, even for those guys, where they're coming from bigger cities.
Yeah.
And they like, man, it's a lot of people yeah. that struggle. Like, yeah. you know, and for some of them, you know, don't make jokes. Like, I didn't realize maybe I had this many black
yeah.
people.
Yeah, right.
I'm like,
even when we went to school, how more diverse it is now.
Yeah, you yeah. know what I'm saying? But like, East was like the most diverse yes. school, period.
Now,
like,
white people are in the minority.
Man, that whole yes. side of town, Washington, yeah. all of that. Like, it's all just kind of changed. So yeah. I think, you know, having those guys, and like I said, you know, I think it was great that even for Gray, you know, to just randomly call me, but he had got my number from somebody, but to say like, no, like I want to be involved with things directly in the community. And he was like, I hear
cool.
that you, I'm like, yeah, like I'm in it mm-hmm. every day. Like, and you know, some of the kids that I've mentored are kids of parents that I grew up with. And then it's oh man, like, you know, like the young boy, you know, he'd be talking crazy, like, man, I ain't doing that. And, oh, what? What you mean?
I know your dad.
Hey, man, you better stop playing. Then suddenly I pull up to his house and his mama like, mm-hmm, I told you, this Eddie, right? Here you go. There you, but now you know what that's gained from him? The respect.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or even the daughter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it allows for me to say things that a lot of times a lot of people can't say because the credibility is there. You can't assassinate that and say, oh, well, no, I grew up with your mom and your dad. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like fighting and, you know, some of the homies, you know, they gangbang. Or some of them, they end up going to prison. All of those things are credibility things that you can't take away. So, you know, even when you circle, you know, when you circle around, you talk about, you know, those guys being involved. Those guys come from bigger cities.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of those players. So, I mean, it's good. And like those guys, like I still talk to those guys and they're already like, hey, man, we got to
do it again.
Yeah. we excited. Like
we don't have a ton of time in it, but I really want to hit on Angelina's your spot. Dude, I tell you, if you're in Green Bay, you got to go. It's the food is the best. You walk into their patio, you close your eyes, you think you're in Tuscany. Like it is, it doesn't get better. Really.
That was another thing, right? You know, people would always ask me, like, what made you do that? Why not?
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Where I'm from, like, people don't even take those type of chance or risks. You know, they just say, you know, you grab a basketball or a football.
Yeah.
My mind has always been like, oh, yeah. And, like, it's crazy because I grew up with that family.
Yeah.
Right? So when they first opened in 98, they were right where the Fresh Kind is at right now. I mean, you got 8-10 tables.
In there.
And then when they moved over on Adams.
That's the best location in town.
Yeah, like, you know, upstairs, out in like all the natural vines that go across the wall.
God.
Like, it's crazy, right? But so pre-COVID, her son, Nermano, who's always been a chef, the 25 years, he came, you know, we would always talk. I would always go in. We all grew up together. We lived two blocks from one another. But I think he noticed Angelina was getting to a point where she was like, okay, I'm ready to bow out.
Yeah.
I've spent, you know, 30 years and I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? I've been in it.
Yeah. No, you got 10 seconds.
Yep. So And fast forward, you know, 2022, it was a done deal.
That's awesome. Please come spend your money there. Eat the food there. It's the best in town. Eddie Boyce, I cannot say thank you enough for what you do, who you are. Thank you for being here, for sharing your story. You guys have a great everything else, and we'll see you next week.